Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Hour 3, our third and final, but on the first day of a new month. It is April 1st, live right here on this Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. And we start with breaking news, and I'm making sure we're not getting got, but I don't think we are, by Adrian Wojnarowski, of course, the ESPN NBA insider. It is interesting anytime you see a breaking news report on April Fool's, but this one is legitimate. ESPN sources saying that Philadelphia 76ers star and reigning NBA MVP Joel Embiid is nearing a return and expected to play this week. Of course, Embiid DRS has been out since the end of January. His Sixers team has been on a slide, currently in the 8th spot in the Eastern Conference standings. We expected him back. We hoped at some point for the postseason, just in the NBA in general. It looks like he'll get some run before the Sixers even get to the postseason.
Great start for the Philadelphia 76ers into the playoffs, and they haven't even gotten there yet. Why? Because Joel Embiid isn't going to appear in game one of the playoffs, being rusty. He has 5, 6, 7, 8 games here under his belt to try to get underway. Now, granted, as I say, 5, 6, 7, 8, he's not going to play every single game right up to the playoffs. They're going to bring him back. But if you can get that magic back from what you saw from last year out of Joel Embiid and the early parts of the season before he was injured, that is fantastic for the Sixers. And no longer, let's just say they make it through, Ben, the play-in round, and they are the de facto 8th overall seed. Let's just say it plays out that way somehow. That's not a true A seed if Joel Embiid is healthy for the Philadelphia 76ers. As we welcome in the radio audience, you're watching and listening live to the Early Line Monday morning edition right here on SiriusXM channel 159 and talking Philadelphia 76ers, Donnie Wrightside and Ben Stevens, as a true hot topic here that we love to bring you live.
When you look at the NBA standings, again, Philadelphia has slid. They are now just 5 games above 500 at 40-35. Joel Embiid's last fully healthy game was on Tuesday, January 30th. And he was also dealing with some things, some injury issues in that stretch in late January and early January as well, that really eliminated him from that 65-game minimum of being in contention for a second consecutive NBA MVP. And still dealing with the injury issues. January 22nd, a 70-point, 18-rebound performance out of JoJo, a guy that averaged better than 36 points per game and 10 boards in the month of January. He averaged 40 in 12.5 rebounds in the month of December. With Joel Embiid out there, Philadelphia, in my estimation, is a team that is a true conference contender. Now, Boston is far and away the best team. Milwaukee probably in that second tier by themselves. But there is a gap behind that DRS that if Joel Embiid is healthy and remains so for the entirety of the NBA playoffs, to say for the 76ers to get to the second round is something they have done for the last 3 years, and of course not into an Eastern Conference Finals since the early 2000s. But I do think Philadelphia's overall outlook obviously is more optimistic with Joel Embiid and a team that I could at least see reaching the Eastern Conference Finals.
And from a fan perspective, me being a Sixers fan, the Sixers were unwatchable for a month and a half, as the only thing you were waiting for was Joel Embiid coming back. And also the thought process behind the process himself was, why are we going to waste time with Joel Embiid this year? If he's coming back and he's not healthy, just shut him down. The Sixers would get blown out in round number one, but Embiid would be healthy next year. Look, anytime you get a chance to make the playoffs with Joel Embiid, health is never going to be guaranteed. So if he's healthy enough to play in this playoff run, you better play him here, because the thought process of shutting him down this year just to be healthy for next year, you probably end up with the same result anyway. But this is good news for Sixers right. and Sixers fans alike. And again, it's going to be a surprise team. We're no longer looking at the expectations of the third overall seed, Philadelphia 76ers. It's the eighth overall seed to the ninth seed to the tenth seed, depending where they fall in the play-in rounds. I'm looking forward to this, because this could be one of those teams where we talked about a 40-5-1 favorite, now dropping down to 30-1 here in that range at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and rightfully so.
So the Sixers are 40-35. They played 75 of their 82 regular season games in the association. Only seven games left. We have less than 2 weeks left in this NBA season as well. Exactly 2 weeks from yesterday, April 14th, that Sunday, is the final day of the NBA regular season, where seeds will be solidified and we'll have that exact postseason picture, play-in tournament and just the regular playoffs. And although Philadelphia is probably going to be in the play-in tournament, they're two games behind Indiana, the Pacers in the sixth spot right now, and Miami is in front of Philly as well. I don't think they'll be in the 9-10 game, because they have a four-game advantage over the Bulls, who are three games below 500. So that would mean, theoretically, Philly gets two shots of seeing the postseason. They win in the 7-8 game, they're the 7th seed. They lose in that game, they get the winner of the 9-10 matchup. They have a chance to still take that 8th and final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. Again, favorable odds, and we already talked about the movement with the optimistic reporting about Joel Embiid's return over the weekend. 31-1 right now for Philly. So after that 70-point performance against the Spurs on January 22nd, just to put it into context, obviously, how integral Joel Embiid is for the overall success of the Sixers, they were 29-13 after he goes off for 70-18 against the San Antonio Spurs. From that point, now 40-35, 11-22 over these past two-plus months. A completely different team with Joel Embiid in the lineup. And you saw there the reporting from ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. No definite timeline. We expect, though, an updated report on if Joel Embiid will play tomorrow night as the Sixers take on the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, and you're taking a look at the Sixers trying to move themselves up the standings. But if you're the Thunder, like, come on, man. You can't wait another day or two to get that knee back in, you know, rhythm at this point. You got to come back against us, who's trying to fight for our lives against the Denver Nuggets. But it's great. We're also waiting. We talked about it earlier in the show. The New York Knicks, if they can get some health back, it makes a more intriguing Eastern Conference, which looked like it was going to be a basic runaway for the Celtics, which, Ben, it still might be. But add some more superstars to the equation. Look, the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers outside the top six, those teams aren't normal picks here in those 7 and 8 spots as you might wind up in the playoffs. So good times ahead here in the Eastern Conference, and maybe a little bit more intriguing as well.
So a couple of interesting future prices on Philadelphia, 31-1 to win the NBA championship. The Sixers right now a minus 800 favorite to make the Eastern Conference playoffs. That would be at least one win in the play-in tournament, but the odds makers certainly expect that. Boston is running away with the Eastern Conference, at least in the standings. They've already clinched the number one overall seed, and the odds at this moment, minus 135. Joel Embiid returning for the Sixers could make that path a little bit more difficult in the Eastern Conference, but the Seas are minus 135 to win the East. The Bucks have the second best price at plus 310. Clearly, that's what we're almost expecting from the Eastern Conference Finals series prices. Obviously, some adjustment in those numbers. But then it's plus 310 for Milwaukee, all the way pretty much $9 to a three-way tie for the third best number. Cleveland, New York, Philadelphia, all at 12-1. We'll follow those prices as Joel Embiid returns for the 76ers. Daily Diamond Dash in MLB up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Daily Diamond Dash, the second week of the Major League Baseball season now underway, although we've only played three or four games for teams around Major League Baseball. Some have played six, like the Dodgers. The Padres are up there as well. But we get into the second full week here of this Major League Baseball season. So we go around the Daily Diamond Dash here on this Monday. We head to the Trop up first, where the reigning World Series champs will face off against the Rays tonight. Tampa booked as a minus 122 home money line favorite, over under 8.5, and the under has the juice.
Yeah, and again, we're taking a look early in the Major League Baseball season. If we're picking a game at the Trop, it's usually a tough place to hit home runs, tough place to score runs, because that usually indicates that Tampa's got a pretty good frontline pitching staff and bullpen, and also just the environment here, the ball doesn't travel all that well. But as we set up here, let's take a look if it is Dane Dunning on the mound today. He's been decent last year. And again, they're the only real statistics that we can go off of. He's a right-handed pitcher, right, very good against right-handed batters. But against lefties, struggled a little bit. But even if we take that out of the equation, you're going to get some left-handed batters in the lineup anticipated today for Tampa. It looks like it's going to be Lau, Palacios, and Ruotvedt. How about that for the catcher? But only three. You'd like to see a little bit more. Beautiful. But the reason I bring that up is, as a lineup here, nine eligible batters, seven of them last year alone on statistics going up against right-handed pitching, all above average with weighted on-base percentages. Diaz, 389. Lau at 353. Rosarena, 350. Ramirez, 326. Palacios, 320. Paredes, 378. So you got some hitters in that lineup. So if we flip it over to the opposite side, and again, Ryan Pepiol on the mound, don't have too many statistics to go off of. I'm not really big on what did he do out of spring training. But last year, this right-handed pitcher also struggled with right-handed batters. And if we take a look at the lineup here for the Texas Rangers, look at those superstars at the top of the lineup based on last year's numbers against right-handed pitching.
Yeah.
349 for Simeon, 450 for Seager, 468 for Carter, 372 for Adolis Garcia. We're probably getting runs here. So instead of taking a side, I look at the eight, and it is in the Trop. I get that. I'll go over the total in this one.
Right. 8.5, that number right now, maybe working its way down to the eight.
Rising.
The under,
yeah.
Does at, what? Yeah.
No, I say right, because I was just looking at the graphic there. I think it said eight. So there you go. Rising.
Oh, rising. There you go. Donnie right side ahead of that line.
Crazy.
Texas, by the way, was beat yesterday in their opening series finale against the Cubs at home in Arlington. Chicago getting its first win of the year, 9-5, to avoid the sweep. Tampa and Toronto in the Trop in their first four-game set of the year did split two games apiece. Of course, the Yankees, the statement in the opening weekend, a four-game sweep over the Houston Astros. They now go from H-Town to the home of the defending National League pennant winners out in the desert against Arizona. The D-backs started their year with the Colorado Rockies. The Rocks expected to be one of the worst teams in the National League. Arizona wins three of those four games for a series victory. But can the Yankees keep it rolling? Can the Yankees continue to find their groove out in Phoenix? Now they're booked as a road money line favorite. I might take the D-backs plus money at Chase Field to end this four-game win streak for the Yankees to start this year.
The humidor better be cranked up there on the West Coast for the simple magic, because you're taking a look at this game overall and saying to yourself, who are we going to get on the mound and how dominant can they be? Because it doesn't look like they're going to be that dominant at all. Heels on the mound, the right-handed pitcher, right, for the Yankees. I'm not even showing any statistics from last year, but if we're just taking a look at right-handed pitching going up against that lineup for the Diamondbacks, they hammered it all last year, which includes the top two guys in that lineup, Marte and Carroll, 397 weighted on base percentage and 366 combined. But if we flip it over to the New York Yankees going up against Ryan Nelson, he didn't get anybody out last year at all. Left-handed batters, a 237 ISO and a 380 weighted on base percentage. Right-handed batters, a 220 ISO and a 347 weighted on base percentage, right in the middle of that lineup. Now, granted, Judge hasn't started out all that hot. Maybe this is a chance for him to get back. But if we're looking just based on last year's statistics rolling into this year, Soto's got a 416 weighted on base average against right-handed pitching. Judge at a 427. Those two guys should be able to do damage. So if we're looking for RBI possibilities in Major League Baseball, might come out of the desert tonight. Is that 10? They'll probably press it. That's good numbers for both of these lineups here. Let's see if they get after it.
Donnie, when we were doing Major League Baseball breakdowns on Thursday's opening day, even into Friday, it was names you would know at the top of these starting staffs. Now we're a little bit deeper in, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 games into this year. So we're getting some of those pitchers where the evaluation, at least at this moment, and the sample size, not all that deep, mm-hmm. either year over year, obviously not here in 2024. The California rivalry in Los Angeles, the Dodgers and the Giants tonight. LA now 4-2. They split the Seoul series in South Korea. They take 3 of 4 against the St. Louis Cardinals over the weekend at the Ravine. They stay in Los Angeles. They're greater than a $2 favorite, minus 205 against the San Francisco Giants. Over-under stands at 8.5.
And again, this is tough because you take a look at the Dodgers. Nobody really wants to bet against them yesterday and should have got a loss. I believe they're down 4-0, end up winning 5-4. That's the power of that team going up against any bullpen. But if we're just trying to break it down to its simplest terms, you know, Keaton Wynn on the mound does have some decent statistics from last year, but only faced a total of 173 batters. But if we just look at the Dodgers lineup, and if we include the early parts of the season and last year together, and just look at the weighted on base percentage against right-handed pitching, it's almost not even fair. Let's go up against the anticipated starting lineup for the Dodgers based on those numbers from last year. Weighted on base percentage, and I use this term, 320 or so or higher is above the Major League Baseball average. Well, if we look at the Dodgers tonight, Betts 403, Ohtani 468, Freeman 404, Smith 354, Muncy 373, a low point of Teoscar Hernandez at 316, then it jumps back up, Outman 362 and Hayward 349. So every single player in the lineup is a positive against right-handed pitching. That's going to be hard to defeat here. Now, granted, we already talked about. Yeah. You're not going to go undefeated for the Dodgers. They've already had a couple losses on the season. But this is one of those I'd look at. I'd probably just be taking a team total on the Dodgers and or RBI props to sort of boost it because I don't want to lay over $2 early in the season in this game. And again, cooler temperatures out there in L.A., but that lineup still should rake tonight.
Yeah, Teoscar Hernandez, by the way, in his Dodgers debut throughout these first few games, 2 of 4 yesterday, 2 RBIs, including a solo shot in the bottom of the eighth that cut it to a 1-run deficit. And then Max Muncy, who came into the game, did not start, hit a 2-run shot later that inning, a 420-foot bomb to give the Dodgers the win and the series victory over the Redbirds. Mookie Betts was 0-4 yesterday, DRS, and is still batting 500 yeah. in the first 6 games of this year. You could look at total bases. You could look at mm-hmm. RBI numbers for that elite Dodgers offensive lineup. Now, the White Sox did get swept by the Tigers to start off this year. Chicago is not going to be a very good team throughout this season. But I will say this. Despite being swept, the White Sox lost every game by only a single run and were perfect covering the number on the run line. Well, the Braves enter the South Side today. Atlanta in this matchup, a very hefty favorite against Chicago. Some day baseball on this Monday. Minus 270, Charlie Morton on the bump for the Atlanta Braves. That run line, -1.5, -162, if you want to bet it for the Braves.
I mean, the Braves should roll today, but also you're taking a look at a game where they played yesterday in Philadelphia, flying into Detroit, and you're also going to get 48 degrees with rain in the forecast and a wind blowing in from right field at 14 miles an hour. Still should be able to win. So let's just say we take the rain out of the equation and they do play this ball game. Flexen's on the mound here for the White Sox, and you take a look at him last year, didn't get very many batters out, which is a tough sign going up against this red-hot lineup, even right out of the gate for the Atlanta Braves. If we're including, again, last year's statistics, which followed up with this year, is going to give you at least 400 to 600 at-bats between the players. If we look at a number of the ISO power number, Ben, what that measures is what type of damage you're doing at the plate here. So if you're looking at an ISO power number, Major League Baseball, you want to have that around like 0.17 or over. That's very good. Only one guy in the lineup is below 157 today, and that's Orlando Arcia, who actually had a very good weekend in Philadelphia, so go figure that one out. ISO power numbers for the first 6 guys in the lineup today, 259, 230, 233, 346, 260, and 187. As I said, 0.170 is the average. So those guys should be able to mash right out of the gate. But once again, we're not playing in the midsummer where it's 82 degrees with the wind blowing out. Chilly yeah. conditions, rainy forecast, team on a plane, back-to-back games. We'll see how that one plays out today for the Braves.
Total at 9. I love breaking baseball down with you, DRS, but I also love breaking down some baseball with our guy, Tom Vecchio. Prop perspective on this Monday, he shows off as the jack of all trades next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Monday on the early line. on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie right side making jokes during the commercial break. And Tom Vecchio from FanDuel joins us live right here on TEL as well. The jack of all trades, the home run prop king, and somebody who can handicap in the NBA with the best of them. He puts that on display on this Monday. Vecchio, outside of maybe the month of October when we have the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball in the postseason, this is your time. Start of a new year in Major League Baseball and, of course, the NBA in its home stretch in the regular season. We look forward to seeing you put the jack-of-all-trades moniker on display on this Monday.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, certainly a very busy time. Two sports coming to a close, MLB getting underway. I focus in a lot on the NBA when it comes to minutes for star players. I think we're going to see a good trend in the final weeks for teams that need to win. I want to certainly focus in on that.
Yeah, both teams in a game tonight in New Orleans are very interested in their postseason positioning, maybe trying to get out of the play-in tournament. That's the Phoenix Suns. The Pels trying to hold on to a spot on the right side of the top six at this moment as well. Very close in terms of what the numbers are saying tonight, Vecchio, in the Big Easy. Just a one-point spread in favor of the Pels. Minus 118 money line for New Orleans, as we've seen that slight flip. The Suns in even money, plus 100. Short underdog on the road. What do you make of this matchup tonight in New Orleans?
Well, I would certainly lean towards the under tonight, and we could say the same thing about a lot of the games on tonight's slate or over the next 2 weeks. There's going to be a lot of unders. Teams are playing a little bit slower, tougher defense. Specifically, like Kevin Durant, over 6.5 rebounds, it's plus 108. Despite how good the Pels can be with Zion Williamson and Jonas Valanciunas down low, they're still going 10.7 rebounds per game to opposing power forwards. That's the sixth worst in the NBA. Durant's been over this number in six out of the last 10 games, and given where these teams are in the standings, as you just said, I don't think these teams want to hit up and down the court. They want to play things super straightforward. The Suns specifically have been playing at a much slower pace, about 8 possessions less per game over their last three. So tough defense, missed shots, playoff-type basketball means a lot of rebounds.
Play-in preview tonight as we take a look, Tom. That's the Atlanta Hawks and the Chicago Bulls. Tip time at 8 p.m. tonight. Overnight line, I should say, at the FanDuel Sportsbook was 2.5. It still currently sits at 2.5 as a favorite toward the hometown team here, Chicago Bulls. Total coming in at 223. What can we anticipate tonight as the Hawks and the Bulls probably going to play tonight and then in the first rounds of the playoffs?
Right, like you said, potential play-in preview. I want to say this is like a monumental game for these two teams. The Bulls have a 1.5 game lead for the ninth seed. So if they can grab this win, that gives them that extra cushion. They can hold on to home court. So again, more unders tonight. Dare I say Atlanta has been playing a little bit better on defense as of late. Over the last three games, they're allowing 12 three-pointers from the opponents per game. That's the ninth best over the last three-game stretch. So Coby White from the Bulls under 2.5 threes at plus 116. He's only averaging 2.7 for the year. He's at, you know, a little bit higher in the month of March. But I'm not expecting these teams to get up and down tonight. And again, he's not a super high-volume shooter. He can go, you know, 3 of 5, but he's never going to be taking 9, 10, 11 threes. So leaning on the under for most of these cases, I wouldn't mind some rebounding props for Clint Capella as well, whatever it might be.
223, that number tonight. You just saw the Tom's top props board for this Monday. Mm. That's a thing of beauty. 5 plays in there. Not necessarily from this game, Tom. So the handicapping question is what we lead with. Boston, the best team in the NBA, 58-16 on the road against one of the worst teams in the NBA. That's the Charlotte Hornets. It's a 16.5-point number in favor of the Celtics, even in the Queen City. What do you do, though, with a Boston team that has already clinched the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference, really just waiting for the final 2 weeks of this NBA season to come to a close? How do you view it from a motivational standpoint for your handicapping purposes?
Well, there was a quote last week, I believe, that Joe Mazzulla said they're going to be trying out different defensive things just because they want to use NBA games as practice because they have this much of a lead and already clinched. I would say leaning on unders for Tatum can be very dangerous. But again, if they don't need to push him out there, like why does he need to play 40 minutes? No, he needs to play 28, just stay in the flow of things. Also for tonight, with Brown and Porzingis being listed as questionable, Derek White over 14.5 points could be the spot to go. As we get to the playoffs, that first round matchup, I'm going to be looking to the Celtics on the series spread. Obviously not the series price is going to be minus 1,000 or whatever, but a series spread or a correct outcome of 4-1 or 4-0. I think that's what we want to start anticipating for the Celtics. Like you said, they have things locked up. Let's start looking to the postseason for them. Best way to approach is probably series prices.
Tom, on to the diamond we go. Late night tonight, 10-10 first pitch. That's San Francisco, and that's Los Angeles. We opened up at a number at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a minus 225 price towards the Dodgers. We now see that come down a little bit to a minus 205 price. The total listed at 8.5. It's Wynn versus Paxton. Can you go against the immovable object, which is the Dodgers, and take that big price, which is roughly plus 175?
Well, of course you can. I talked about this with Kevin, where you just look to fade the Dodgers on a nightly basis. And because the opposing money lines are going to be so big, you can just come out profitable, whether it's a month sample size you want to roll with. But tonight, Keaton Wynn on the mound for the Giants, very small sample size from him last year, allowed a 336 wOBA to lefties, 1.62 home runs per nine, a 306 BABIP versus lefties. So let's go to Freddie Freeman, two plus total bases, minus 105, coming off a game where he had no hits. I am going to be trusting the elite skill that Freddie Freeman has shown over many, many years versus a basically unknown pitcher from the Giants. Obviously, that lineup is extremely dangerous. He's literally always going to see good pitches. He's also going to be an RBI machine this year. So Freddie Freeman, two plus total bases.
Yeah, Mookie Betts, two plus total bases as well, minus 110. Mookie Betts still batting 500 this year, despite going 0 for 4 yesterday in the opening series finale against the St. Louis Cardinals. That might be the way to attack things for the Dodgers this year, just because those money line prices are going to be close to $2, if not greater, for most of this season. Now, Vecchio, we go to the Trop today. The Rays and the Rangers, the reigning World Series champs, on the road for the first time this year in Tampa. The Rays, a slight home favorite, minus 122, total 8.5. What's the play for this game today in the Trop?
That's going to be going to Dane Dunning for the Rangers, under 4.5 strikeouts. It's at minus 104. You know, he's a solid pitcher, but he's not an overly dominant pitcher. And same thing I said about Jose Barrios last week to start the season. He got there by, you know, the hook getting over, but 19.4% strikeout rate for Dane Dunning last year, 7.6% walk rate. He pitches the contact where he lets runners on base for free, and then he tries to induce double plays. And again, not overly dominant on the mound. His pitch count shouldn't be an issue, but I'm not expecting a big strikeout game from him as well. So under for him today.
World Series preview, people. How about this one? The New York Yankees and the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Yanks get out to a 4-0 start. How about the Diamondbacks? A 3-1 start. Heel versus Nelson out in the desert. Overnight line on a total opened up at 9.5. That's now double digits at an even 10. A slight favorite for the Yankees at a 118 price has now moved to a minus 124. Yanks, D-backs to the Yanks take their first loss of the season or get their fifth win of the season tonight.
I think they end up coming away with a loss. It's just baseball variance. That just is what it is. I'll be buying into teams that haven't won, like the Mets or the Marlins, just getting them at a good price. Tonight, it's going to be going to Corbin Carroll for two plus total bases. Like you said, heels on the mound for the Yankees, super small sample size over the past few years. Corbin Carroll, he's not putting up the hits, but he's just grabbing a bunch of walks. So, like, he's not doing anything wrong at the plate. He's actually doing a lot right because he's super, super disciplined. He just needs to start putting the ball in play, and I will take this matchup, especially with Lourdes Gurriel and Christian Walker behind him, who are on fire to start the season. Again, he will always see good pitches. You cannot walk a player with two home run hitters coming up behind him. So, two plus total bases for Corbin Carroll today.
So you look at that idea of regression in a positive way for some, or maybe thinking the Yankees can't start the season on a five-game win streak. Of course, they won their first four games over the Houston Astros. Does Houston bounce back against the Toronto Blue Jays at home today? Minus 148, that money line price, Vecchio, in favor of the Astros.
Yeah, again, they have too good of a lineup where when you have you're Don Alvarez, you have Kyle Tucker, you have Bregman, you have Altuve. That type of lineup can put up runs anytime. Get off to a slow start. It is what it is. A 3-4 game sample size is never going to sway me massively on any single player, a pitcher, or a hitter. So I will simply take the Astros at home and maybe looking to lay -1.5. I think that's the best spot to go. I want to go for as much plus money as possible rather than minus 142. Although the Blue Jays are good, I'll still take the Astros at home.
Full card tonight, Tom, so let's give a little bit of time in the spotlight here. Give us the best plays overall tonight on that prop card that we can cash some tickets to.
It's probably going to be sticking with Freddie Freeman at two plus total bases. That's probably my favorite bet overall. I will try to look for a little bit of correlation between Durant over 6.5 rebounds along with the under on that game. Would have to maybe play around with the same game parlay, something along those lines, just to try and create that correlation to get as much value as possible. I will also say from an ice perspective tonight, I think the Florida Panthers bounce back after a rough couple games and pick up the win on the road versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I would take the Florida Panthers. I think they're minus 130 on the money line. I think that's a super easy spot to go. I think they're a better team compared to the Maple Leafs. I'll take that spot. And then, of course, I'll have home runs a little bit later in the day.
NHL on the ice coming down the home stretch in that regular season as well. He already gave you some Frozen Four picks last week. Mm. Both BU and BC into the Frozen Four. Is that correct, Tom Vecchio?
Yeah, both advancing. We'll see BU versus Denver and then BC versus Michigan. You know, unfortunately, BC beat my Quinnipiac Bobcats last night in overtime, but we'll take BC to continue to win it all.
Quinnipiac, the reigning national champions, by the way, for Donnie, who knows the Frozen Four as best as anybody. Yep. Michigan with a big victory over rival Michigan State, but the Spartans hockey program is on the way up. Vecchio, can I ask, how were the home run props in this opening weekend of the Major League Baseball season? Any big hits?
They were good on opening day for Freddie Freeman at plus 400. That's great to start. You know, following up as players continue to hit them the day after I talk about them. So I'll, of course, have articles up every single day and look to back it up as much as possible.
Vecchio, we appreciate the time sincerely here on the Early Line each and every Monday from that prop perspective. Thank you for being here. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to look at the hardwood handicaps that we have on this Monday night around the association in the slate we have to end out the regular season. And it's Elite Eight Monday. It's the women's NCAA tournament, and it's a good one. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Elite Eight Monday night in the 2024 Women's NCAA Tournament. Two games, four teams, two spots remain in the Final Four, which comes our way in Cleveland on Friday night. And when you look for marquee matchups, now in the month of April, for two spots in the Final Four, this is what you dream of in the Elite Eight. First game up is the National Championship game rematch in Albany between LSU, the defending champs, and the Iowa Hawkeyes, the reigning national runner-ups. Then the nightcap is out in Portland. It's UConn and USC, two of the brightest young stars in this sport. Paige Becker's maybe not young necessarily in terms of college, but her resurgence is felt for the Huskies. It's Paige Becker's for Connecticut. It's Juju Watkins for USC. We start with that national championship game rematch between Iowa and LSU. Very short spread. 1.5 in favor of the Hawkeyes. Minus 134 on that money line. The over-under 168.5. What happens in the rematch, DRS, as compared to last year's national title game?
We're going to get a lot of fun. And this is the game that everybody was circling the wagons for, which you probably thought was going to be a Final Four game, Ben, and or the national championship game possibility in a rematch. But as soon as we saw them come up in the same region, like, oh, here we go. This is going to be a collision course. And even if you can't stand LSU or you can't stand Iowa, the one thing that you were actually cheering for on both sides was these two teams to continue to win just so we can have this matchup tonight and watch it all play out. It has the feeling to me that we might get an all-time game because why? For Iowa to win this game, you can't go out and say, well, Caitlin Clark's going to struggle from the three-point line, score 16 points, and Iowa comes away with the victory. That's not going to happen. Even so, last year in the national championship game, Caitlin Clark had an amazing game, logo three-point shots all over, and it wasn't enough here. So if you're looking from a perspective for Iowa, I need Caitlin Clark to have like a 35-plus point night, 10-plus assists in here, and really take it over, which certainly would be the lead story tomorrow. Because LSU, for me, overall, is a better team, but LSU doesn't have Iowa's player in Caitlin Clark, who can go off at any moment. More of a balanced attack, still superstar players all the way around, but I love the fact that this game is priced at a 168.5, because we're going to get so much fun up and down, so much trash talking, so much, you know, crowd, you know, getting into it on both sides here. It's the yin and the yang going up against tonight, and I can't wait to watch it play out. And again, look at the spread, Ben. -1.5. It's a true coin flip that we're all going to be watching play out here.
And my only ask is just please try to enjoy the basketball. Yes, there is going to be the theatrics. Yes, there is going to be the intensity and the passion. That is a beautiful thing and what you would expect when a spot in the Final Four in a national title game rematch is on the line. Some of the conjecture and conversation after last year's national championship game got, frankly, very nasty and ugly. I hope it is a celebration of basketball. There will be trash talk. There will be passion. That is sports, and that should be celebrated. Last year in the national title game, Caitlin Clark went off for 30. She hit 8 three-pointers. That is a record in an NCAA tournament, women's national championship game. Her 3 points prop, as JY laid out earlier, is 5.5. I actually like Caitlin Clark over assists at 9.5. She's been over in 2 of the 3 games. She had 15 against Colorado. As teams try to take away what she can do shooting the basketball, she has some of the best court vision that you will find. Flauge Johnson, the offensive orchestrator on the other side for Kim Mulkey and the Bayou Bengals, rebounding prop, 5.5. I do like the over of that one as well. Game total, 168.5. LSU, of course, victorious in the national championship game a year ago, 102-85. And neither of these two offenses have slowed down at any point this year. The top two scoring offenses in all of the country face off for a spot in a Final Four. It's Caitlin Clark. It's Kate Martin. It's the Iowa Hawkeyes on one side. It's Angel Reese. It's Haley Van Lith. It's Flauge Johnson and the LSU Tigers on the other. That's the first game of the night, 7 p.m. Eastern time, the scheduled tip. The nightcap out in Portland, USC and UConn. Juju Watkins versus Paige Beckers in the Huskies, despite being the 3 seed in Portland Region 3, actually the 3.5-point favorite against the top team in that portion of the bracket, Southern Cal. The Huskies, a 3.5-point favorite. This total drastically lower than the first game of the night, 135.5.
And also, it's a game about superstars. We talked about Iowa, who has the superstar of the game, and multiple players who you think could step up there for LSU. And quite frankly, I'm not even knocking the Iowa kids around there either. It's a Gabby Marshall, Stolke down low. They have some really good players right that can actually fill it up. But when you're looking at who needs to take over and can't afford a bad game, it's a bad game. It's the top of the standings here, the top of the lineups, which is why we digress into this game. Paige Beukers, plus 350 here. Take a look at Juju Watkins at a 4-to-1 price. The reason I want to bring up these two price points is one to score 30, the other one to score 30, but each one of their teams to win. That's how I want to try to approach this game. And I've been following in-game that much here at the FanDuel Sportsbook with what they're offering. We had a lot of fun here at Sports Grid covering the men's game where those type of situations pop up. But that's why I want to attack this game and, quite frankly, both of those games. Give me a player to score 15, 20, or even 25 points if they're a superstar or higher to win the basketball game. Hopefully they get down the other team. You get a chance to take that sort of price point. Because the way I look at this as well, Juju Watkins to score 30 points in this game is a probability. If she does, they're probably going to win. The same way with Paige Beckers on the other side at a plus 350 price to score 30 or more points and have her team win. That's what I'm looking for. Two superstars collide. And quite frankly, Ben, maybe it comes down to whichever superstar just has the better game points-wise going to lead her team to victory here. That's the way I think it's going to happen and think it's going to play out that way.
Beckers right now, that points prop 26.5. Juju Watkins at 27.5. Juju Watkins, a freshman for Southern Cal, went off for 30, although not the most efficient 30 points you will see in the Sweet 16 victory a few nights back over Baylor. Beckers had 24 points, and UConn scored 53 in their Sweet 16 victory against Duke. Connecticut did not reach the Final Four a year ago. That snapped a streak of 14 consecutive Final Four appearances under Gino Auriemma. There is little doubt that UConn women's basketball has been the most successful brand in this sport, trying to get back to a Final Four for the 15th season in the last 16 years. USC looking for a Final Four appearance for the first time since 1986. Into the Elite Eight for the first time in 3 decades since 1994. Well before Juju Watkins was even born. National championship prices for women's NCAA tournament action. South Carolina, minus 210, the updated number, but still greater than a $2 favorite. Iowa, second best number, followed by LSU. DRS, South Carolina into the Final Four for a 4th straight year. They're undefeated into the Final Four for a 2nd consecutive season. But just from the odds perspective, from the handicapping perspective, there has to be value then on somebody else for South Carolina where their price stands in the national title market.
Yeah, and again, you're looking at pedigree teams as well. Like LSU isn't coming in, like, hey, we're just happy to be here. They won the national championship last year and certainly got better with some of the additions that they made to their lineup. Now, did it equate to the regular season dominance? No, because there was another team in the SEC that was even more dominant, which was South Carolina. But it just comes down to that price point again. Even though we have that fade the public poll where I did vote for UConn, even though they're at a minus money number, I do think they're the best. Same thing with South Carolina. But still, there's a couple games left to play here, and laying a minus 210, I just don't think that's certainly in the best interest, because once again, Ben, it's a one-game playoff similar to the men's here. It's not an extended series. So an Iowa number at 7-1, an LSU number at 8-1, I think makes some sense. Like, telling me, 7-1, 8-1, one of those teams probably going to be in the final. That's a pretty good price point here to sort of take down in the championship game.
UConn's number is moving, by the way. I bet it at 15-1 just about an hour ago. It is now 12-1. The winner of tonight's games, right? We'll have Iowa versus LSU, UConn versus USC. They will face off in the Final Four in Cleveland on Friday. The other side is South Carolina and NC State. The Gamecocks, an 11.5-point favorite against the Wolfpack. I've already bet NC State covering the number. South Carolina did not cover either of its two wins this past weekend in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. I think South Carolina is going to get to the national championship game. I don't think it's going to be nearly as easy as the odds makers are expecting it here. Parity in women's college basketball is on the rise. Now quickly to the NBA, six-game slate on this Monday night. Suns, Pelicans, virtually a pick'em DRS for an important game in the Western Conference standings. The Pels right now, a two-game lead over both Phoenix and Sacramento for that sixth spot. The Kings in 7, the Suns in 8. That market has moved. It's a pick'em tonight in NOLA. Who wins?
Yeah, you know what? Coming time down to the wire here to start trusting the Suns, I'm just not there yet. But even taking a look at the starting lineup tonight, Ben, which does have Booker, Beal, and Kevin Durant listed in that lineup, they're still on the road here. And I'll take it. Even though it's a public favorite here to take the New Orleans Pelicans, that minus one number sort of begging you to take them, I'll fall into that trap tonight, because it just comes from, not that I don't think the Suns can win this game, but if the big three play well, they probably will. I just haven't seen enough of it yet. Give me the Pelicans tonight as your short favorite at home.
Yeah, I look at the under. I think Vecchio made a great point. New Orleans has gone under, by the way, in a ton of games here as of late. I believe I did the math correctly, 10 of their last 13. Celtics and the Hornets. Boston, a 16.5-point favorite on the road against Charlotte. I think it's hard to handicap these games, DRS, because Boston doesn't need this victory. They've already wrapped up that number one overall seed. Now it's back to 17, as you see on the graphic, over under 219. You heard Vecchio say that head coach for the Seas, Joe Mazzulla, says we're going to work on our defensive rotations here in the final 2 weeks to get primed and ready for the postseason. So maybe the under of 219. I'm not entirely sure what the best handicap is for this basketball game.
I would just take the Boston Celtics at this point. It's a ridiculous number. They're on the road, but this is a dead-in-the-water Charlotte Hornets team, which has a starting lineup of Trey Mann, Vasily Micic, Brandon Miller, Miles Bridges, and, Nick Richards, who I don't even know if that's a real basketball player, just a filler name that they put in there. They should get hammered tonight. That line is saying, like, you can't lay 17 points on the road. Yes, you can. I'm going to do it with the Celtics tonight. What, 130 to 101? Sound like a score that we had last night. Yeah, probably the same one tonight. Celtics should roll.
Yeah, it is interesting, right? The Celtics were a double-digit favorite in two games against the Hawks last week on the road, and they won both, or the Hawks won both of those games outright, but Atlanta at least in play-in tournament conversation. The Hornets have gone over in 5 of their last 6, for whatever that is worth. They did cover yesterday despite losing by 12 as a 14-point underdog against the LA Clippers. The final game we'll break down for you here is a play-in tournament preview in the Eastern Conference in Chicago tonight, where more than likely we see that play-in tournament game. The Bulls a 2.5-point favorite against the Atlanta Hawks, over under 223.
Last 6 games here for DeJounte Murray, 29, 28, 19, 30, 44, and 20. So certainly a roller coaster ride. The Atlanta Hawks only going to go as far as he takes them until Trae Young gets back into that lineup. That's a short price for the Bulls. It's almost like, wow, that should be an easy win for the Bulls at home. I'm not saying I want to take Atlanta here. So my price points would be based on the Atlanta Hawks and DeJounte Murray. I would just look at a points prop. If you like the Atlanta Hawks to win the game, that means Murray probably had a pretty solid night overall. That's the way I would go in that environment. And even if they lose, he can still have a solid night overall. So DeJounte Murray points prop to the over for me. Outside of that, good luck picking this one here. Coin flip for me.
Yeah, so last night the Bulls pulled off the upset against the Timberwolves, winning by 8 outright as an 8.5-point underdog. Atlanta over the weekend had its 4-game win streak snapped by the Milwaukee Bucks. The Hawks have gone over in 7 straight, the Bulls under in 2 of their last 3, of which they have won. I kind of lean to the over tonight of that number at 223. But what is interesting, 1.5 separates Chicago and Atlanta. If the Hawks can win this one, that's only going to be a half game difference for which team is going to host the 9-10 play-in tournament game to start off the Eastern Conference postseason. A best bet comes your way. Up next, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on SportsGrid, closing out these 3 hours together on the first day of a new month. It is April. It's the opening day of a new week. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. But before we say farewell and before we say goodbye, it is time to give you a best bet on this Monday, Elite Eight Monday, in the women's NCAA tournament. It is time for Bye Bye Bye. And I think that both Donnie Wrightside and myself are going to give you a best bet from the 2 games that we have tonight in Elite Eight action at the women's NCAA tournament. Donnie Wrightside, you lead off.
Look, I'm ready to get after it tonight. 7:15 start, right in my wheelhouse as I start to get ready for bed tonight. Yeah, but I will be watching this game all the way through. I want to see it start to finish. This is the game, maybe the game of the week, Ben. And that includes the Final Four coming up this weekend, which has 2 double-digit rough spreads here. Tonight, you are going to get a preview of what we probably thought could have been the national championship game, and we're going to need big performances out of the game's biggest player, and that's Caitlin Clark, to record a triple-double tonight at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a +290 price. Do you think she's taking 40 minutes to be played tonight? How many does she play? 40 minutes tonight. That means rebounds, assists, and points. It's going to take that big-time effort to get them past LSU and vanquish last year's NCAA champion. Caitlin Clark tonight, triple-double, BSS.
She played all 40 minutes in the round of 32 against West Virginia, of course, last year in the Elite Eight against Haley Van Lith, who now plays for LSU. But last year for Louisville, Caitlin Clark made history, a 40-point triple-double in the NCAA tournament, the only player, men or women, in the NCAA tournament history to record a 30-plus point or 40-plus point triple-double in big dance history. I look at the nightcap, UConn versus USC. I trust the historic trends of this Huskies program getting back to a Final Four. Connecticut laying 3.5 against USC. That is my best bet for this Elite Eight Monday in the women's NCAA tournament. He is Donnie. I am Ben. Yeah. Donnie has you covered tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern time here on the Early Line.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.